Well, thanks for coming out tonight, and welcome to our panel discussion on legalizing recreational marijuana. I'm Sean Crawford, news director of NPR Illinois. We're hosting this forum tonight in downtown Springfield at Anvil and Forge Brewing and Distilling. We appreciate their hospitality and also you for coming out tonight. We titled this event, How High the Revenue? It's a little play on words, of course, because revenue for the state is one of the driving forces behind this idea. There are some other issues, though, and a lot of folks say legalize it, tax it, but it is more complicated than that, and we're going to get into that tonight. We want to hear from you as well. We have a microphone in the back, so if you have a question, we just either raise your hand or possibly walk to the mic and stand there. We will call on you, and we want it to be a two-way conversation this evening. We do have a great panel this evening. We're going to go down the line here, have them introduce themselves, and as they do, I'd like for each of them to give a brief description on how they became involved and why they're interested in this topic. So again, we'll hear from our panel. We'll start with you.
Thank you. My name is Steven Stelter. I'm the police chief in Westchester, Illinois, which is one of the suburbs of Chicago. And I'm the president of, was that a funny town? And I'm the president of the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police. I'm representing basically all law enforcement in Illinois.
Sharing a microphone. My name is Jacqueline Driscoll. Maybe. I am the Health and Harvest reporter for NPR Illinois, and I have been covering the large topic of legalizing cannabis in Illinois.
I like the shout outs. Wow. She said they're my peeps. I am Chris Stone. I am the CEO of Ascend. HCI is the local marijuana dispensary here, actually a block away. I've been involved in the marijuana industry for 9 years, having started in the marijuana industry coming from alcohol, so which there are a lot of similarities.
Woo! Hot crowd.
Go ahead. Hello, I'm Ray Bertino. I'm a retired physician. I retired about 2.5 years ago. And since retirement, I've been working on substance abuse issues. I've been doing that as sort of a give back after retirement. I was originally interested in the opioid epidemic. Of course, all of us are interested in that, and that was a very natural thing to work on until about a year ago when it became apparent to me that the Illinois legislature was interested in legalizing marijuana. Marijuana hurts people. I turned my focus to that. It hurts people medically speaking. And because of that, I felt the need to shift because it would be a big change for Illinois to legalize. And it's something that we may need to try to undo for years and years, for decades, once done. And so it's an important issue. So I've turned my focus.
So I'm Christian Mitchell. I'm a deputy governor in the office of Governor J.B. Pritzker. Before that, for 6 years, I served in the legislature here in the state of Illinois. I'm also a relatively regular patron of Anvil and Forge, so thank you for all the hef. I became interested in this topic because, in a very different way, I happen to agree with what the doctor just said, that marijuana hurts people. It's just primarily the people it hurts are black and brown folks who spend time in prison for it. My view, and I think the view of the governor, is that we need to legalize this. We need to lead with social equity and criminal justice reform being at the forefront and making sure that we get real change in the space and representation, including oath and ownership, I should say, and self-determination. And so that's where this office comes at it from, and it's a great pleasure to be here tonight.
I should mention, Chris has said that it hurts black and brown people who are in prison. There's no way that I want people in prison. And one doesn't have to conflate those two issues. One can do the social justice part of this without exposing more people to marijuana, getting more people to use, and hurting people, as we've seen in Colorado.
Christian, you want to respond to that?
Not really.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, as somebody, you brought this issue up of social justice, and certainly there are people who say they want to support it for that reason, but you have to admit that the revenue is really the key driving force for the state of Illinois?
No, I don't, actually. And what I would say is, and this is one of the reasons why I'm glad to be working for J.B. Pritzker, is what he has said is that what I said up top is that social equity and criminal justice reform are leading reasons why this needs to happen. So what the governor has said is, yes, we do need revenue. We're going to count on some revenue. There's some revenue written to the budget around marijuana. But most importantly, what you have in the current market here in Illinois and across the nation is incredibly low and in some cases zero participation from people of color. And you've got the history of a war on drugs that was waged, yes, by Republicans, but also by too many Democrats that sort of conflated being smart on crime with being tough on crime. And I think that doing what we can in a marijuana legalization bill to reverse that trend, to do expungement of records for low-level cannabis violations so people can participate in the space, and making sure that those communities that have historically been disproportionately impacted by the war on drugs have a chance not just at participation and employment, but also ownership, economic opportunity, and the chance to make money in the cannabis space. And so those are guiding factors. And what we also believe is that right now we've got one of the safest and best medical programs in the country. While that program has failed on equity, it has done well on making sure that we don't have product that leaks into other markets, that we do public health and awareness in a way that makes sure people know the risks insofar as they exist, and that we continue to keep people safe. And if you keep all of those things at the forefront, you can legalize this drug, keep people safe, and make sure that, yes, the state makes revenue, but most importantly, you do social equity and social justice in a way that advances the goals of the state of Illinois.
Well, I wish that were all were true. Marijuana legalization will hurt poor people. If you look at Colorado, emergency room visits for marijuana intoxication and problems rose 4 times over the course of 4 years. A fourfold increase from 4 years at University of Colorado Medical Center. This just came out last month. You may have seen it because it hit the national news in Annals of Internal Medicine, a very major medical journal. And of those people who were in the emergency room, 900 in one hospital in 1 year, that hospital is only 5% of Colorado hospital beds, and yet 900 people showed up. If you took that across the state, how many people would that be showing up? How many adults, this was just adults, would be showing up because of marijuana problems? And of those people, 2/3 of them were either on Medicaid or were without insurance.
Well, if I
this
could,
is
if-
a red herring that it'll help the poor. This is going to hurt the poor the most. The most have the most problems with marijuana addiction. This Journal of Psychiatry, American Journal of Psychiatry, 2016. They have the most problems with marijuana addiction. This is going to hurt the poor.
And if I could just interject a minute, going back to what we talked about, Senator Steens and Representative Cassidy have gone throughout the state holding forums, and the very first thing out of their mouths about why they want to legalize this is because prohibition isn't working. I find that kind of humorous only because I don't think prohibition is working for prostitution. I mean, is that next? And actually, tell me a crime where prohibition is working. Murder isn't working in Chicago, the prohibition of murder. But that's what they tout, that prohibition isn't working. And the money that the state thinks they're going to get, that they keep pushing down everybody's throats, they're not going to be getting it. If you look in Colorado, every $1 that comes in from the taxes, they spend $4.50 on the negative effects of marijuana. So the money is not, you know, they're telling you we're going to get all this money. No, we're not. We're going to get the money, but it's going to go right back out for all the negative aspects of what goes on with legalized marijuana.
Chief Stelter, let me ask you a question regarding law enforcement, though, and that is a lot of folks say law enforcement can spend their time dealing with much bigger crimes if they're not having to track down, you know, minor offenses with marijuana.
That's just smoke and mirrors is all that is. We're out there enforcing all kinds of laws. Marijuana is all part of it. Marijuana is illegal, and it should stay illegal. And what other big crimes? If you take the city of Chicago out, what other big crimes are we investigating? We investigate all crimes, burglaries, robberies, sexual assaults, murders, homicides, and drugs, heroin, cocaine, and marijuana.
Okay,
it's all part of our job.
Can I respond to some of what I've just heard?
Christian Mitchell, go ahead.
So a couple of things here. First of all, I don't know what the implication is or obsession with Chicago. I would just note that the per capita murder rate in Chicago is actually lower than a bunch of other major cities. So I don't know what that's a proxy for or not. I would just say, maybe let's put that off to the side here for a moment.
You're wrong. You're wrong there, my friend.
The second thing I would say about this is that, look, one problem that we have with crime around the state is that you've got a whole bunch of people dealing with the collateral consequences of the war on drugs. If you start to deal with the war on drugs in a responsible way, where people get a chance at self-determination, a second shot at life, the ability to be employed, the ability to have ownership and run a business, you will see crime decrease because more people have more economic opportunity. And every major publication you will see, every sociology study will say that more opportunity equals lower crime. Most importantly, this is not just about revenue once again. It's about our values as a state. It's about the fact that the war on drugs has not worked. It's about the fact that marijuana is, yes, readily available already. It's about the idea, if we want to talk about red herrings, that prostitution and murder aren't even close to being the same thing. It's just not.
Let's talk about the prohibition just, part of it. They said prohibition isn't working.
I didn't interrupt you, Chief, when you were saying a whole bunch of stuff that I maybe disagreed with, so just let me finish. What I would say is, let's not be hyperbolic here. Other states have done this. Part of what they've done is they've had an uncapped market that has allowed for uncontrolled growth. That is not what's being contemplated in any piece of legislation I've considered worthy of support. It'll be a controlled market. It'll be one where we have a chance to review and study, where equity is at the forefront, where we continue to have the safest program in the country as we have with medical, just expanded to more people. This is not, one, either rocket science or, two, the end of the world. This is a responsible thing to do, and as long and what's great, I think, is that we've had all voices at the table, law enforcement included. They may not support it, but ultimately, their suggestions on how we police it are going to make it a better bill.
You know, Chris has said a lot of things again, and I just want to say again, I'm not for arresting people for marijuana use. If people have prison records or criminal records for small amounts of marijuana use, I'm totally with Chris. I'm with him 200%. This isn't about that. Okay, Chris and his group could actually do that without forming companies whose sole goal will be to get as many people to use as much marijuana as possible.
Just a clarifying question, who's my group?
Excuse me?
I just want to know who my group is, but carry on.
Well, your group, you come from the governor's office, okay. So you're tied to the group who is bringing the marijuana bill forward. I believe, in fact, that you appeared in a legislative session, caucus, a week or two ago with them. Maybe I've been told wrong. Actually, just before the break. And so if they want to take care of the social justice part, I'm 200% with them, 300%. I'm as much with them as I possibly can be. But marijuana hurts people. It's similar to alcohol. It's similar to cigarettes. You know, cigarettes, we no longer allow anybody to encourage use. And we've had great success with cigarettes. Unfortunately, we haven't done quite the same with alcohol. I do drink. We're in a bar right now. I may have a beer afterwards and maybe we'll get my wife to drive home. But we certainly shouldn't be encouraging alcohol use. As a society, it's not in our interest to have a lot of alcohol use. It's very damaging to people. I can't tell you during my career how many people I saw whose lives were destroyed by alcohol. Marijuana is similar to tobacco and to alcohol. It has bad medical effects, and use is not to be encouraged. I don't care if people want to go out and use, but we shouldn't be allowing an industry to push it at people.
I don't
entice them to use.
Well, Jacqueline Driscoll with NPR Illinois.
Just to add, I don't know. I mean, Christian can probably speak a little more to this, but in my reporting and speaking with the sponsors, they're not looking to encourage use. They're it's a big issue, but looking to bring it to the forefront and regulate it and know that it's already out there instead of funding cartels. A big portion of my reporting has been how to tax it and where the tax revenue will go. Every time that I've spoken to the sponsors, they've said, we want a piece of this to go towards public health and education, making sure that we're telling youth that this isn't a good thing to do. We want to educate about the health effects of marijuana. So I don't think anyone's wanting to encourage it.
It's a fatuous argument. Do alcohol companies encourage alcohol use? Do they show girls in bikinis having the greatest time of their lives and guys in muscular guys in bathing suits? Do they encourage use? Do cigarette companies, before they got taken down by the federal government and by the attorney generals of various states. Did they encourage use? Did Joe Camel encourage use? You bet it did. Did the Marlboro Man encourage use? There's a lot of literature on that. To think that the marijuana companies are somehow going to be different and not encourage use is a false argument.
Let's get Chris.
They will be encouraged, and marijuana hurts people. Doctor. Just as tobacco and alcohol do, it hurts people. We could talk about the medical effects. I'd be happy to go into those a little bit later so you know how it hurts people. But it hurts people, and we should not be allowing companies to form that will encourage use.
Dr. Bertino, hold on a moment. We want to get Chris Stone in from HCI Alternatives.
Well, first off, doctor, We can't advertise the same way that alcohol and cigarettes are advertised right now. So we're not pushing it to people. In fact, what we talk about is what the alcohol industry talks about now is moderation. It's about moderation and proper dosing. If you notice our advertising, it's actually almost like public service announcements more than it is advertising like in the traditional advertising sense. So, frankly, you are way off base. And you know what? It's understandable. You know what? I can't speak to the morality of what somebody wants to drink or how they drink it, okay? Or how they're going to use cigarettes or how they don't use cigarettes. That's their choice.
It's not a morality issue.
And it's also their choice as to whether or not they want to use cannabis, whether it be for medicinal purposes or whether it be for recreational purposes, if that's legal. It's their choice. You know what? Now, what's our obligation is to be able to educate them on how to use it properly and how to use it in moderation, just like you might drink a beer or two, or just like you may drink a glass of wine or two, and to be able to educate them on making sure they're not using the product and driving, just like we do alcohol.
To claim that alcohol companies do not try to encourage use is fatuous, again.
But you this know, isn't it, alcohol. It, this is not alcohol. But you keep referencing alcohol. This is not alcohol.
Chris, you, when you talked, you gave alcohol, and you said how they give public service announcements to drink in moderation. Yes, they do that. But they also produce Harry's Hard Soda. Who do you think Harry's Hard Soda appeals to? We don't allow flavored cigarettes. Why are we allowing alcohol that doesn't taste like alcohol? With cannabis, undoubtedly, the people here who are pro-cannabis want to allow candy marijuana. The state legislators, including Heather Staines and Kelly Cassidy, in 2012 voted to outlaw flavored blunt papers. For those who are older, flavored joint papers. They voted to outlaw those in Illinois, and those are outlawed. But now this bill is talking about allowing candy marijuana. Does that make sense?
Let me go to the back of the room because we have Dan Lynn here. He is with Normal Illinois, and he has been working on this issue for a long time. And Dan, you've been listening to the conversation, and we thought we'd give you a chance to weigh in.
Oh, thank you. I think that this does pertain to alcohol because alcohol prohibition failed. We teach young people why alcohol prohibition failed. It led to an unsafe product that was still widely consumed. It led to gangsterism. It led to a lot of corruption. And cannabis prohibition now has been going on for over 80 years, yet we're repeating the same type of history with that. And allowing adults in the United States of America to grow and consume this product responsibly without harming or endangering others is something that absolutely should be tolerated and should be legal in this country, I feel. So to talk about keeping this illegal or about the problems with it, there may be problematic usage with cannabis, but that shouldn't deprive responsible adults of having this option and having this choice to consume this product.
To act like alcohol has been a success, again, is a problem. You know, with alcohol, we get about $20 billion of taxes per year with alcohol. Do you know what the medical costs of alcohol are per year? They're $250 billion, $250 billion. We reap $20 billion in taxes. Cannabis is the same. You know, it's been brought up a couple of times by people who support cannabis being legalized. And I actually am not against cannabis being legalized if it were done in a rational way where we didn't allow formation of companies who are just going to push the use. Now, to call alcohol a good paradigm with the way it was legalized, we're not succeeding with alcohol. We're having tremendous costs to all of our society every year. I'm not saying we should prohibit. I'm not saying we should necessarily prohibit cannabis or that we should prohibit smoking. But our views to all the substances like this, all of the addictive substances, should be the same as it is towards cigarettes. We may allow people to use, to go out and use them, but we don't want to see them pushed at people. It's not good for society. It's
Dan,
not
Dan, if you want to respond to that, go ahead.
Sure. I mean, do you think that there are drug dealers in this country that card young people that want to buy drugs? Because they don't. The people who ask for age verification are people that have a business license and an incentive not to sell to underage patrons. So if we are concerned about keeping this out of the hands of young people, specifically teenagers, the best way to go about that is to regulate the industry and not let criminals control the production and distribution of it.
Can I address that?
Hold on.
I'm not allowing criminals to support.
Hold on. One at a time. One at a time here. Let's hear from Chief Stelter. Go ahead.
I'd like to address your point, sir. You're right. However, the studies have shown, and actually the Illinois Family Institute has a study out, that with legalized marijuana, an increase in use of high school seniors is up 14%. Now, let me watch as I go down the scale. High school juniors is 19%. Seventh graders, there's an increase of 96% of seventh graders that use marijuana, and 144% of sixth graders. So you can sit there and think, okay, we're going to card people. If you don't think, and what this does to the children is phenomenal. The poison control centers are receiving an exponential amount of calls and poisoning from the edibles that the marijuana is being put into because the kids are eating the edibles, to the just inhaling the smoke from the people smoking in their homes, and that is damaging their brains. And the marijuana today is four times more powerful than back in the 60s and the 70s when Cheech and Chong were out and about doing up in smoke. This stuff is extremely powerful and is destroying the children.
Wow. Okay, this panel is making me feel extraordinarily young. So look, I think there's a couple of things here. First of all, right before you cite an Illinois Family Institute study, you're going to want to check and see if it's actually longitudinal research, if it's been peer-reviewed, if there is anything in it that gives it any academic quality that says it might actually approximate accuracy. And spoiler alert, the answer is going to always be no. Number two, I would say, look, we are pretending as if... So in part, some of the points that have been made on this panel are making the point of why legalizing this and bringing this into the market makes sense. Yes, there are some strains of marijuana or THC that are stronger. People have been growing it for longer, which is why you want to bring it into the light and regulate it. That's exactly why you want to. So there are standards so that you can make sure a product is safe. It's why you don't see leakage and extraordinarily strong product from our medical industry found in state lines or found outside of medical dispensaries, because we've controlled it, we've given it standards, and people are not taking risks to get it. That's actually really a good thing.
Hey, Christian, you're going to limit THC?
I want to ask him a question. Christian, can I ask you a question, seriously, on that? What's your feeling towards home grow?
My feeling toward home grow is that the proposal that has been sort of out in the working groups that I think your association was a part of was that folks would be able to grow five plants.
Okay. What's happening in the states, Washington and Colorado, with home grows, for those of you that don't know, it's just the ability to grow marijuana in your home. You get a five plant minimum or maximum that you can grow in your house. What's happening, though, is when legalized states, many more drug cartels are coming in. They're buying homes that are in foreclosure or buying homes, and they're turning them into marijuana factories. There's no way of regulating somebody's home grow to keep them to just five plants. Think about it.
So look,
who's going to go and check on a house to make sure you only have five marijuana plants?
I'll also say, though, in Colorado previously, they had home grow laws that allowed family members to grow by proxy. So if you had more people in your house, if you personally wanted to grow but you lived with a husband and another adult, maybe your grandmother, you could have five plants for me, five plants for my husband, five plants for my grandma. So it allowed people to grow by proxy, and that was something that I spoke to Representative Kelly Cassidy about too. That's something that they've learned from Colorado. That's something that they wouldn't put in the bill.
There's no way to regulate that, though. Who's going to go to the homes and check to make sure they only have five plants?
Yeah, but, I mean, there's knock and talk challenges with constitutional Fourth Amendment searches right now in everything that law enforcement does. This isn't different. It isn't new. And I would also say, like, look, part of the reason why you have such difficulty with cartels right now is that you're dealing with an illicit market. And so bringing more of that market into the light, again, is not necessarily a bad thing. Now, again, this is part of why we've had law enforcement part of all the discussions is, and I was saying this earlier before the panel even started, having people who disagree with you involved in a process makes the ultimate product better. And so figuring out ways that we can work with our law enforcement officers to figure out ways that we can make sure we keep this market safe is a good thing. But just say no hasn't worked. It has literally never worked. And so figuring out how you can bring this into the light, tax it, have safety standards that matter, and also make sure there's a criminal justice and social equity component is the way to make sure that you bring our regulatory scheme into the 21st century.
Again, criminal justice and social equity can be done without, you know, these can be two separate issues. And I would recommend that no matter what happens with the cannabis bill, that Christian does the social equity and criminal justice parts. Those should be done. You know, I quoted the article of Annals of Internal Medicine where four times as many people were being adults were being seen in the University of Colorado emergency room since legalization of cannabis. You know, that's showing that there's a lot of damage. Just over the course of 4 years, it's gone up fourfold. Now, what I didn't tell you is the same thing has happened for adolescents. That's Journal of Adolescent Health 2018, that adolescent visits for marijuana to the University of Colorado Children's Hospital emergency department have increased fourfold. You know, so more adolescents are being exposed to this somehow in a bad way. I don't, the surveys haven't shown a lot of changes in use, but something is happening four times as adolescents, many adolescents are going through their emergency room, and it's not a small number. It's close to 800 people a year, 800 adolescents at one hospital, which is a small proportion of the hospitals in Colorado. There's a lot of bad medical effects going on. This hurts people.
I want to get into some other issues tonight before time gets away from us. One of those is medical marijuana, which we've had in the state for a couple of years now. And Chris Stone, you deal in that business. What happens to the medical marijuana industry if we approve recreational use?
Well, first of all, and Kristen might, I think, would probably agree with me, the drafters of the original medical marijuana law and the subsequent two amendments that we have made changes to over the course of the last 3 years since it's been in place took everything that was bad about the industry in other states and made a gold standard program here. We have zero diversion. We have quality testing. We have quality controls in place like no other states. It's the highest, most regulated cannabis industry in the country. And it works. And you see the influx of patients that are coming in that are using it for treatment of their pain. Having said that, what's going to end up happening is that with the way that the bill has been talked about being drafted in the last 5 weeks of work that we've done on this, we want to make sure that we're keeping the integrity of the medical program in place so that people can continue to operate in that space and grow that space. But at the same time, if a recreational program comes into place, that those people that want to use it for recreational purposes can. I actually envision that the medical program, unlike most other states in the country, the medical program will probably increase maybe by fivefold or more, even with a recreational program in place.
Now, why is that exactly? Why do you feel that way?
Huh?
Why do you feel that way, that it will increase that much?
One, we do a heck of a lot of education. There are a number of conditions that qualify for the medicine. I think that the costs are probably going to be cheaper because of the tax rate. And the simple fact is that there is a bigger variety of product for the medical patients than there probably will be for the recreational patients. One of the examples that we have is RSO oil, which is high CBD, low THC oil for terminal cancer patients or ALS patients. We have a lot of sales on the medical side for that product that substantially helps their quality of life. That's going to continue to grow as the education grows, as the referral base grows from patients that are currently using it and seeing the positive effects.
Jacqueline, you've been covering this issue for really over a year plus now. What are you hearing as far as, I guess my question is, how are people going to be able to buy recreational marijuana? Do we know that? I mean, are they going to be able to just go to pretty much any shop in town and be able to do that that wants to carry it? Or is there going to be limited facilities? How is this going to work? How does it seem like it's going to work?
I don't really know the answer to that, only because we haven't seen the bill yet. We haven't seen the language that's in the bill. If we're talking about what we're seeing in other states, which I think we are building upon what we've seen in other states, it'll be, you know, shops that want to, you know, essentially open wherever. They don't want to have licenses congregated in specific areas. One of my questions specifically to Representative Kelly Cassidy, are we going to just see these recreational shops pop up in Chicago? Because, you know, it costs a lot of money. Right now, J.B. Pritzker has proposed $1,000 just for a license, or $100,000 rather for a license. So Representative Kelly Cassidy says there will be some zoning restrictions. She doesn't want to run into the issue of like a liquor store on every corner, a cannabis shop on every corner. How that integrates with the current medical facilities that we have now, that also remains to be seen. But yeah, essentially, if you're 21, walk in and get your product.
Christian Mitchell, you're involved in the political side of this and all the negotiations that are going on. Can you give us an idea of where it all stands right now?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not much different than what I opened the program with, which is we've had really good negotiations. We had 6 working groups that each met 3 times, about 18 meetings, about an hour each, with some, you know, offline discussions behind that. And I think those negotiations have gone well. We're working on, I think, a very good product that folks should be able to see very soon. And as I said, you know, the goal is going to be to legalize marijuana, to tax it in a way that isn't so high as to leave the illicit market with significant incentive to continue to operate, to make sure that social equity, the ability of people of color to have ownership and self-determination, is at the fore, that we deal with the war on drugs by making sure that we're doing some expungement, and by having controlled growth in a way that allows us to get the equity piece right and also make sure that we don't end up like some other states that did too much, did it too fast, and now are in a place where the market is oversaturated. So those are our principles, and I think that's the product you're going
to
see.
Dr. Bertino, hold on just a moment. I just wanted to tell our crowd here, if anybody has a question or a comment, if they want to step to the mic, we'd be glad to listen to what you have to say, and go ahead.
Yeah, social justice is a false promise. Do you know where the majority, where dispensaries tend to get located, both in Colorado and in Washington? This has been studied. It's known where they're located. They're located in poor areas. And it's also known, Justice Quarterly, 2019, that the crime rate increases significantly where the dispensaries are located in Colorado. So it's a problem.
We're in Illinois.
I already told you.
The same word in Illinois.
I already told you that of the 4 times as many adults who are being seen in the emergency room, 2/3 of them are either on Medicaid or have no insurance. Who are those people? Those are poor people. Those are people without access to dollars, without access to insurance. This is going to hurt poor people, or it'll hurt people in general. This is a substance whose use we should not allow companies to promote because it hurts people.
I just want to add.
Can I just add one quick definitional thing, Jacqueline, if you don't mind, which is there is actually a difference between social justice and equity and poverty. There actually are people of color who are not poor. I just thought that might be a useful definition for everyone to hear, given sort of the bent of some of the comments.
I also just want to say, too, when talking about comparing recreational programs to what other states have done, almost all of the states have done it by voter referendum. So basically it goes to the ballot and people who vote on it say yes, and then they create the program later. The sponsors currently have gone through a very thoughtful process in having these forums throughout the state. So we don't know what the program will look like, but I think that that's an important fact to keep in mind.
Let's go to
it may be very thoughtful, but it's going to hurt people. The use of the substance hurts people.
Okay, let's move on to the back of the room, and we have a question. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Pertino. Assuming that all the negative consequences of marijuana, of consuming marijuana that you're talking about, that you are true, we currently have a high degree, even though marijuana is now illegal, we currently have a very high degree of usage of marijuana right now. So all these negative effects are happening now. It seems to me if you you want to bring criminal justice reform, I don't understand how you could bring criminal justice reform if you continue the current system, where you continue, if it continues to be illegal, you'll continue to have the high usage. You'll just have a black market like we have now, and we won't get the tax revenue. It seems currently we have the worst of both of all worlds. Well, at least with the reform, you'll have it regulated and the usage.
I understand your question.
Yeah.
You know, there's if you look at public policy people, you can look at Jonathan Calkins. You can look at Bo Kilmer. Bo Kilmer had a editorial in the New England Journal of Medicine 2017. There are a lot of other paradigms to legalization of marijuana where you don't have the commercialization that is being proposed now, where you don't have to have candy marijuana. You don't have to have, you don't have to allow THC content to be almost unlimited. It is unlimited in Colorado. And nobody here has said that Illinois is going to put on any limits on THC content. I would love to hear that. I'd love to hear Christian say that. But nobody said that. I don't think he's going to say that. So one has to presume no limits on THC content. Higher THC content is more addictive and also is more medically damaging. Now, the other thing is advertising. You do not have to have advertising. Again, there's other paradigms that it can be done. All you have to do is look out in the public policy literature. What's happened here is Christian and the people who are supporting this bill have sort of conflated two things. They've conflated legalization, which has been done in Uruguay without commercialization, which is being done in Quebec without full commercialization. Even in the Netherlands, they don't have full commercialization. They don't allow advertising at all. So there are different paradigms. Vermont allows grow your own. There's different paradigms where we will not have the formation of companies whose goal will be to get as many people to use as much as possible. And in terms of Colorado, Colorado's problems went up. I've already quoted you the emergency room figures. I haven't quoted you the emergency room figures for the under 10-year-olds, but they're even more dramatic in terms of percentage, the increase.
Okay,
first of all, yeah, we do have use here. We should be trying to discourage use right now.
Dr. Bertino, we should try to
discourage use of tobacco and alcohol.
Dr. Bertino, let's let some other folks talk here. I think Chief Steltner wanted to talk.
Sir, just to address a couple of your comments. Okay. Number one, the black market actually increases when you legalize marijuana because it invites more black market organizations, drug cartel organizations, into your state. Number two, this isn't strictly just about law enforcement. This is about overall health, and especially, as I said before, our children. I've got a list here of 19 organizations that oppose legalize marijuana. We're talking all the major medical associations oppose it. We're also talking the Farm Bureau. We're talking the NAACP, the Drug Association, the Illinois Family Ed. All these people are against and oppose legalized marijuana. So that it's not just a criminal thing, law enforcement. It's a health.
We live in a democracy, and public opinion polls consistently show a majority of people favor legalization of marijuana.
Well, let me ask you this question then, sir. Have you yourself researched this yourself?
I've done some research, but yeah.
But I'm saying, do you think the typical, how about in this crowd, how many have really gone and researched whether marijuana is legal or not, or it should be good or not? Have you really educated yourself? Anybody? Well, there's only four or five hands going up, and there's 25 people out there. The majority of people you run into, I bet you will tell you they've never researched it. They just listen. I encourage you guys, go research it. Hit the internet. Look at all the pros and cons, and then make your decision.
There's no requirement in a democracy that you have to do research to have an opinion, and we do live in a democracy.
Well, I understand you can have an opinion, but if this is something that's serious, I got a book here. I'd like to encourage you guys, if you're readers, to get it. It's called Tell Your Children the Truth About Marijuana, Mental Illness, and Violence. And it's written by an investigative reporter who went to Yale, who was a pro-marijuana, and now is anti. And if I could just read real quick, four lines on the inside cover. When with marijuana use soaring and states from coast to coast legalizing the drug, award-winning author and former New York Times reporter Alex Berenson warns the media and cannabis advocates have misled Americans about the drug safety. Mm-hmm. This is coming from an investigative reporter who wrote a book on this. I encourage you, check it out, educate yourself, then make your decision.
Let's hear from, we've got another person asking a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I've
I've smoked marijuana. I've never been violent, so I don't know about that.
Well, I smoke cigarettes, and I never got lung cancer. So that sort of argument just does not hold right. when you're looking at medical issues.
Right.
I smoked cigarettes for 5 years, and I did not develop lung cancer. That does not mean that cigarettes do not cause
right.
lung
Let's
cancer.
Let's let him ask his question.
And also before, the Pew Research Center also agrees with the Lieutenant Governor that according to 100,000 cities with 100,000 people, it is the 14th among highest murder rates. So he was correct with that. Other things, I was wondering about Doctor, do you see the Illinois being selling this marijuana? Or you said you were against the companies like trying to market their product. Are you, you're against that? How would they advertise?
Well, personally, what I'd like to see is a system. There's a number of paradigms, as I mentioned, you know, probably going looking at the editorial that Bo Kilmer wrote in New England Journal of Medicine 2 years ago, who's a public policy expert from Rand Corporation. You could also look at Marijuana, Everything You Need to Know by Jonathan Calkins, who's at Carnegie Mellon. He's drug. Both of these people are drug public policy people, and they go through it, and they're pretty even-handed. You know, they're not as much concerned about the medical aspects as I am. Of course, they're not medical people. But I mean, you could set up what Quebec is doing is setting up a nonprofit to sell the marijuana. They'll have a single nonprofit in Quebec. And with the nonprofit will not have the profit motive in order to try to get people to use. It's going to be very closely tied to the government. So the government, in essence, will be able to decide, well, are we going to sell candy marijuana? Because that nonprofit is who all the purchases will go through. So the citizens of Quebec are going to be able to go and buy marijuana if they want to at their dispensaries, but they'll be buying from a single non-for-profit, who doesn't have to advertise, who doesn't have to allow the products that are more dangerous, such as candy marijuana, because of children, and the wax and shatter, which and high THC marijuana, all of which are dangerous. If you use marijuana once a month, you know, or twice a month, it's not dangerous. The trouble is that a great number of people are very heavy users. We have 8 million daily users in the United States. And when you get daily use, you get problems.
Let's let him respond there.
I was gonna ask about the candy marijuana, because I figure like some cancer victims, they might want to have something sweet to eat rather than to smoke or do anything else. Do you not think they should have that ability rather than outlawing it outright?
I'm not...
And not regulating it?
First of all, the statements that I've made to this point have been all about recreational marijuana. I haven't really... None of what I was... The opinions I've expressed have been about medical marijuana.
But candy marijuana will still exist
in terms of
medical...
In terms of candy marijuana, you know, in the medical field, we allow... You get suckers, for example, that have fentanyl in them. Who do you use those with? You use that with somebody who's had head and neck cancer, and who has mucositis, so they can't swallow easily. And so what you do is you have them.
You okay?
I'm okay. You were just interrupting a little bit, and so I just was trying to pull you back in a little. But what you do, so we do allow it when it's for a specific purpose, you know, and there are other forms that are similar, and I have no problem with allowing those forms. But we don't really want candy marijuana to be out there in the community in large portions. It's too attractive to children.
Okay, thank you very much for that question. Christian Mitchell, when it comes to putting a piece of legislation together here, something that can pass the General Assembly, a big key of that is going to be the revenue and where that money goes. Is there anything specific that the governor's office wants to see included in there? Anything that you want to see money going toward?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think I think a couple things. I mean, one, like as I said, and I keep saying, the lens that the governor has instructed us to look at this through is one of social equity. So thinking about in terms of when tax revenue comes in, where does it go? Does some of it go to the general revenue fund? Yes, absolutely. But also things like mental health, substance abuse treatment, services in communities hardest hit by the war on drugs. These are all things that we would contemplate in any worthy piece of legislation as being a place where money goes, because this is not, again, just about the revenue itself. It really is about correcting for previous social ills, making sure that we keep the program safe, and also making sure that we are giving folks who have historically been locked out of the economy the tools and resources necessary to have an ownership stake in this new and burgeoning market.
Hey, go ahead.
I just want to address something, and I said this before, and I just want to make sure the panelists understand. We keep citing other states and Quebec. This is Illinois. We developed a gold standard medical program. We learn from other states' mistakes in order to be able to do it the right way. We're doing the same process with recreational, if it should pass, in order to prevent that. So you know what? Let's stick to what's going on in Illinois and not worry about Colorado or Washington, because they have, it's comparing apples to oranges here.
Can I just add one thing to Chris's point? They have talked about no limits on THC. They've not talked about getting rid of candy marijuana. They have not talked about going to zero advertising.
Hey, doctor.
They are going to allow this to be promoted. This is not different than the other states.
Okay, go ahead.
So on the public health and awareness piece, I will just note that, look, we will make sure we have worked with significant stakeholders. We had an entire public health and awareness group that is going to make sure that in terms of warning labels and advertisements, things that are posted in dispensaries, that we have requisite warnings about medical risks that are in journals that are peer-reviewed with reproducible results, because we believe in science. You can go, unlike the chief, I will assume, because we're in a major American city, that you're all literate and do read, and that we can figure out what the actual health risks are and whether or not the bill that we put forward is going to be responsive to those things. And I think that what you will see is we are going to keep public health and safety at the forefront, but we also don't believe that continuing to keep a massive black market somehow keeps people safer. The reality is, for all of you who have children, your children can tell you right now where they can buy weed. They can. And if you don't think that they can, you haven't talked to your children in a while. And I'm not saying that's a good or a bad thing. What I am saying is that bringing a product into the marketplace, into the light where it can be regulated, taxing it so as to make sure that regulatory scheme is funded, and then also making sure that you are dealing with criminal justice in a smart way is a good way to think about doing this.
Okay, we have another audience question. You can work to get rid of the
black market without legalizing, without commercializing. Again, I'm not opposed to legalization. I'm opposed to allowing companies to push it.
Okay, thank you, doctor. We need to go to an audience question. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. My name's Ian. Lived in Central Illinois pretty much all my life, a couple bouts here and there. Recently, I lived in Seattle, Washington for about 4 years, and I ran a liquor store out there. A couple things is I always hear people talk about Colorado. No one really wants to mention Washington, mainly because I think it's too big of a success. As opposed to they haven't encountered a lot of the problems that Colorado has, which is another thing about the distribution. I'd like to see us like a farm to store distribution instead of a distributor system like alcohol. Just think that keeps things a little more honest. That's an aside. I got a couple notes I've been taking throughout the whole thing just from observations at ground level at that, because I see a lot of like theory, but in practice, like in Washington, when you talk about the advertising, I never saw any like sexy or provocative cannabis ads. At best, it was the location of the store and the hours. That was pretty much the extent of every ad I ever saw. I couldn't buy cannabis the same way I could buy alcohol. I could go all leaving Las Vegas and go Nick Cage in the store. No one stopped me. There was a strict 1 ounce limit at all stores. I mean, they couldn't, it's hard to maintain that across stores, but something to work on. The stores were always super clean, pleasant, well-maintained, polite. You never saw underage kids trying to get in. There were uniformed, usually security officers checking IDs at the door. No one under 21 was ever allowed in as far as I was there. As far as the grow laws there, we never grew it with me and my roommates. No, we just bought it. It was too convenient. Too much of a hassle to grow it. We didn't care. As far as stores in low-income neighborhoods, I lived in Capitol Hill. That's super gentrified hipster. Like, that is not a cheap place to live. That's and it's part of the reason that the only black market there was, and it was there, was after hours when you couldn't go to the store. And the quality, not as good as the store. Would always prefer the store. And as far as like, I keep on hearing candy marijuana, like we get wine coolers and candy liquor. I mean, yeah, I don't think kids should be having that, and I don't think it should be marketed at kids, but it's there. What are we gonna do?
I was just gonna say, by the way, in Illinois, manufacturers are not allowed to advertise. By the way, dispensaries have to get their advertising pre-approved by the Department of Professional Regulation before it goes out. So there are some significant hoops that you have to go to in order to be able to put that stuff out there. Same as Washington.
Yeah,
we can only put the sign up on the outside by local ordinance.
I didn't know what you guys did until like 2 weeks ago. In honesty. So that's.
And the hours on the door. So you know what? It's very similar in that respect. But at the same time, we don't have the ability to spend money on advertising the way that other states may be doing.
I also just want to add a big point to emphasize is, and maybe it's not a reason to legalize it, but there are a lot of users now. There's studies out there that show that there's upwards of 750,000 people using, and they estimate that that's a conservative number because that's like people telling their doctors that they use it, right? So when you go to your doctor and he says, hey, do you drink? Yeah, I might have one glass of wine or, you know, a couple at dinner. So it is a conservative estimate they're saying. So when we're talking about advertising also, I just don't know how much they need to advertise, right? Because there's already all these users that are using. Again, not saying that that's a reason to legalize, but if we're talking about pushing the product and advertising, I don't know that that's going to be an issue. And as Chris said, they can't do that.
A large reason that you have 750,000 users is because the attitudes towards cannabis have changed. You know, in a study that follows that, has followed for 40 years, is called the Monitoring the Future Study at University of Michigan. In 1979, which was the peak use, this was by 12th graders, there was 10% of 12th graders in the United States were reporting daily use of marijuana. Daily use of marijuana is very damaging, particularly for a person who is in learning years and where brain is not fully developed. And that dropped to under 2% daily use in 1991. We'll never get rid of marijuana use by 12th graders, but certainly there's a huge difference between 10% and 2%. What's been happening since then with the attitudes? Well, the attitudes have slowly been softening towards marijuana, and the use by teenagers is going up. The daily use rate now by 12th graders, according to the Monitoring the Future study, is about 6%. It's still under 10%, but it's not as good as 2%. We really want nobody using daily. The substance is damaging when used regularly.
Let him have a follow-up.
One last thing. I completely agree that overuse of marijuana, like over daily use, things of this nature are definitely negative to a person's well-being, but so is overuse of cheeseburgers on a daily basis. Thank you.
There's a lot of things that
I disagree with that. I just want you to know.
There's a lot of things that overuse is damaging of, okay? And the correct paradigm for this one is cigarettes and alcohol. That's the substance that marijuana comes closest to. And with cigarettes again, we have been discouraging use for about 50 years, and we've been very successful at driving down the rate of smoking both among adults and among kids. We still allow people to smoke. We don't throw them in jail. I don't see a need for that, but we should. But with cigarettes, how did we get it down? We throttled the companies. We did a bunch of education, but we also throttled the companies so they can't push the stuff as much. Now, that may all go away with vaping. You know, vaping may cause cigarettes to rise again. But we've been very successful going from 42% adult smoking in 1965, according to the CDC, to 14% now. That's a big success story. That's what we should be shooting for with alcohol and shooting for with marijuana. I don't care if somebody has a drink or two at the bar. But there's a lot of people who drink daily, and it does them damage.
Okay. Let's,
and there's a lot of people, 8 million, who smoke marijuana daily, and it hurts people.
I think Chief Steltner, were you wanting to get in here, Chief Steltner, I think?
I just wanted to just give the people a couple perspectives from law enforcement. Two of the biggest issues that we have in law enforcement are, number one, it's the home growing. We don't understand why you would allow home grown. If you want money and revenue from this, you get none from home growers. You can't control how many they do. If you research it, the cartels buy homes, they turn them into marijuana factories, they stink up the neighborhoods, they bring the property values down, and that's true. I mean, it's just what it is. And the other thing is, we have no enforcement action that we can take. If somebody who's been smoking marijuana gets in an accident and, God forbid, kills one of your loved ones or injures them, we have no enforcement capabilities out there right now, none. The marijuana is in you for what, 7, 10 days? We have no way to register how much is in their system. And so that's some of the things that we have as law enforcement.
So can I just say this? So to the chief's point, this is a challenge. And it's one that, as we contemplate how revenue gets used in a bill, making sure that law enforcement has money to invest in technology that can start to, the challenge here basically, folks, is that there are tests right now that can detect THC presence. There aren't a ton that can detect THC impairment. And so making sure that we invest in technology to give law enforcement the ability to tell at a roadside stop if someone is impaired and should not be behind the wheel is a very real problem that the chief is right to highlight, and one that we are contemplating making sure that we have funding to address in the bill. So I want to say this is another place where a law enforcement concern being involved in negotiations has made the bill itself better.
Christian, I'm going to put you on the spot here just because in my reporting when I was Chief brought up home grow, obviously that's a concern for law enforcement, has been. I've talked to Ed Wojcicki about this several times, and I spoke with Heather Staines, Senator Staines. She mentioned that it was a possibility that maybe only patients who used it medically would be able to grow in their homes. Again, I don't know how they would police that. I don't know if that's still on the table or if you can provide any insight to who might be able to home grow.
Sure, and look, negotiations are ongoing, and any draft we put forward obviously be something that'll be, you know, discussed between now and the end of legislative session. So I don't want to sort of prejudge that. That's certainly a concern or a framework, I should say, that I've heard. But I would just say again, as it relates to enforcement on home grow, it's the same Fourth Amendment search and seizure difficulty that law enforcement has with any other sort of search provision. And so I just think that it is a challenge, and it's one that we are looking for solutions on, but it is a challenge that currently exists in other arenas for law enforcement.
We're about out of time, but I did want to give everybody sort of a closing statement, if they want tonight, just something to leave people with. Christian Mitchell, you want to start, and anything you want to leave people with, as we sit here, just possibly weeks away from legislation being passed that could legalize recreational use.
Sure, I'll keep it brief, and thanks to the listeners of this, but then also, of course, thanks to the audience here at Anvil and Forge and for the business owners here for having us. I would just say, we are in a situation where we have a chance to be the first state to do this, not by referendum, to get it right, to learn from the mistakes of other states, to put social equity at the forefront, to make sure that we are getting toward real criminal justice reform, but also keep the things we've learned from the medical market here in the state of Illinois as to how to keep our market safe, to keep our products from leaking to other states, and to make sure that we, yes, raise revenue with this, but most importantly, prioritize giving folks fair access, making sure that we are correcting for past mistakes, and that is the goal of any sort of legislation that we would look to pass here in the coming weeks.
Dr. Bertino?
Yes. As I've said many times, I agree with the social justice parts of what Christian has said. The trouble is that states that have legalized it have had problems. You know, Washington State was brought up. They've had emergency room visits increased also. I can't quote you the figures on those because I don't have them in my head. But just as Colorado has had the emergency room increases, so has the state of Washington. So in terms of medically, people have been hurt in states that have legalized. And Illinois is looking at legalizing, not all the rules and regulations won't be the same, but they're looking at legalizing with the same paradigm. And the paradigm is one that allows harm to people. Regular use of marijuana harms people medically. And this is something that the state, unfortunately, with all the work they've done that they put into it, there are ways to legalize it without allowing companies to form whose mission is to get as much use, as much heavy use by as many people as possible. And unfortunately, the state has not gone that route. I suggest the state go back, look at some public policy papers. I'd be happy to help Christian go through that literature. And if they want to do this, do it in a way that gets it right.
Chris Stone.
Thank you, NPR and Anvil and Forge, for hosting this. It's been entertaining, I think. I think that from an industry perspective, we've done a lot of good work over the past 5 years to try to get the medical program right. Christian said in his closing remarks that we're doing the same type of process to try to get a recreational program right. And through thoughtful discussions, addressing concerns potentially from law enforcement, potentially from industry, potentially from the other stakeholders that are sitting at the table, I think at some point we're going to have a what I consider to be a very quality recreational program that the state will be able to partake in the future.
Jacqueline Driscoll.
I don't really have a stake in the game. I'm just a reporter, so shameless plug, I'll be reporting on the legislation. Check nprillinois.org.
And Chief Steltner.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for being here. This is a very cool topic. I mean, we could go on for hours. There's passionate people on both sides of the fence. My words are, please educate yourself. Knowledge is power. Don't just sit and listen to people. Find out for yourself. Research it. You haven't heard any of the proponents talk about one negative thing that would come out of this, not one. Trust me, there are numerous negative issues that will impact your neighborhoods and the towns that you live in. So please go out, educate yourself, and know exactly what you're talking about. Just don't listen to the people like ourselves that are on both sides. I mean, yes, we're spewing facts, but hey, you get the knowledge and you know what you're doing.
Earlier, I asked Dan Lynn for Normal, Illinois to step to the mic, so I'm going to give him a chance for a closing statement as well.
The public opinion polling shows that people want this to be legalized. I think it is the state lawmakers' duty to follow what the people's will is and to legalize this product and allow adults to consume it.
We will.
And my question, my response, put it on the ballot. Put it on a ballot and let the people say it.
Well, we will see what happens in the next few weeks. I do want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. Also, thanks to Anvil and Forge and Brewing and Distilling for hosting us tonight here in downtown Springfield. And again, thanks to all of you who've tuned out in the audience, although those of you listening on the air as well. I'm Sean Crawford. Have a good night.